Welcome to the Landmark Podcast. I'm Jason Calhoun, pastor of Landmark Pentecostal Church in Texarkana, Texas. We encourage you to visit us on the web at landmarkupc.net for a schedule of services and upcoming events. We pray that you are blessed by the message today. Thank you again for listening. James chapter number 2. And verse 21, the Bible says, "Was not Abraham our father justified by works when it offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect?" I don't know about you, but I want to always be improving upon my faith in God. I want it to grow stronger. I realize that when faith grows stronger in us, there's a couple of different ways. We build up our most holy faith, the Bible says, praying in the Holy Ghost. And that is more than just a mediocre dimension of prayer, but that is deep prayer and getting into a place in the Spirit where we're really coming in contact with God and praying as we need to. And I think that's important for building up our faith. But also it says, by the trial of my faith, is it made perfect? And there's certain things that can only be developed as we go through things and our faith is tried. And so it's important that we not chafe against those trials, or do we need to feel like that God doesn't like us or hates us or whatever because we have to face some trials in our life. It may be just the opposite. It may be that He really loves us a lot to allow us to go through a few things so that our faith could be made stronger and God could do greater things through us as a result of that. Verse 23, "And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness." And note this, "And he was called the friend of God." And he was called the friend of God. I simply want to teach tonight from this subject the characteristics of a friend of God. The characteristics of a friend of God. I trust that everybody here, some probably to a greater degree than others, but I trust that everybody here wants to draw closer to the Lord. Am I pretty safe company by saying that here tonight? Is that your desire? You want to draw closer to the Lord. And you know what I feel? I feel by service end tonight that some of you are going to get an invitation to draw a little bit closer, and maybe a door is going to be open in the Spirit for you to enter into a place that you've been desiring and praying about. If you're sensitive to God, I believe that God's going to give us that invitation here tonight. Would you pray with me? And let's pray that the Lord would bless and move in this service. Jesus, we need you, God, to bless your word to our hearts tonight. Your word is already anointed. I pray that you would anoint your vessel. I pray that you would anoint the ears of every hearer here tonight to not only hear, but to receive and to take into our hearts and to apply it. God, and I pray that when we leave this place, God, that we could have received an invitation from you to draw nigh, to draw closer, to go to a greater place in you, God, a better place in your favor and your anointing and your power and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. We thank you for it. We thank you for it. Would you clap your hands to him again? Thank you for standing. You may be seated. The characteristics of a friend of God. Everyone can probably relate to the blessing of having a true friend. It's been said by those that have studied this that a person in their lifetime, if they can develop, you know, a few good, close friends, they could consider themselves blessed. In other words, in life you're going to have a lot of acquaintances, a lot of people that you meet, a lot of people that you come in contact with, a lot of people that you may know, that you may have been introduced to. But to really know someone And to be able to consider them a true friend is a wonderful, wonderful thing. And it's a privilege to have somebody as a friend. Friendship is something that we treasure in life. It's something that we really cherish. And when friendships are developed, it's something that you go through life and you reflect on, and you know that you've been strengthened because of that friendship. And friendship is totally different than having someone that is just an acquaintance, because friendship is really knowing someone and knowing them in a way that others may not know them. More than just casual contact every once in a while. You know their likes, you know their dislikes, you know things about them that perhaps nobody else knows. And true friendship is being able to trust someone, knowing that you can depend upon that particular person when the chips are down. You know what I'm talking about. It's sharing interest. It's someone that knows you and knows your flaws, but still loves you, still cares about you, is still someone that maybe overlooks all of those things in order to still have that close relationship and friendship with you. And many of us know what it is to have close friends. And sometimes people, unfortunately, because of hurts, because of situations in their life, maybe because of how they were raised and things that happened to them in their childhood, for whatever reason, they put up a wall and they don't allow themselves to grow close to others. And for whatever reason, because of hurts and situations that are there, they're not able to make and really have close friendships and relationships with other people. And I don't think that that's scriptural. I don't think that that is something that is pleasing to God. Whatever thing that has happened, I believe that God is able to heal that. Whatever situation has caused those walls to be erected in our life, I think that God has the power to bring those walls and partitions and divisions down so that we can have these meaningful relationships, because I believe friendship and fellowship, according to Scripture, is a very spiritual thing. Many of you remember in the Word of God, David and Jonathan, that forged a friendship. And I believe many times the will of God was helped along, if I could say it that way, because of this friendship that existed between these two individuals. God used that friendship that was forged there to help them to do the will of the Lord. And how awesome when we consider these type of friendships, and we know what kind of a blessing it has been to us in our lives to be able to have a friend that maybe we don't even have to tell them, but they can just know by being around us because they know us so well. They can pick up on our burdens. They can pick up on our needs. They can be praying for us, and they can offer a word of encouragement when we need it because they're sensitive to us. That's an awesome thing, isn't it, church, to have those kinds of friendships. But when we talk about friendship in terms of God and to be called or considered a friend of God, many may claim God as their friend, but to have God claim you as His friend, now that's an awesome thing. And that's exactly what God did with Abraham. He said that it wasn't Abraham going around bragging about that he was a friend of God, but it was God expressing that he was a friend of Abraham. And I think that's a very special thing, and that's something that no doubt Abraham cherished. Matter of fact, I don't read about anybody else in the Scripture. He's the only one that I read about in God's Bible that carried that title of a friend of God. And there's times when you see, like in Genesis chapter 15, where there was an exchange that went on, a conversation. Theologians called it an exchange between Abraham and God. It was almost like a conversation between two individuals, friends that knew one another quite well, and they were conversing back and forth. And we know that Abraham was able to pray prayers that nobody else that we read about in the Scripture was able to pray. And at times he was able to deal with God in a way that most of us, we would be fearful to ask with such boldness the things that Abraham did. But you've got to understand, he really had a relationship with God, a close relationship with God. And what was it that made Abraham a friend of God? Was it the lack of flaws in his life? Was it that he had conquered every part of his humanity, that there was no flesh that he ever had to deal with, and we don't see any mistakes in his life? No, it wasn't the lack of failures. It wasn't the lack of flaws. It wasn't that he was a perfect man, though no doubt he was striving for perfection in God. It wasn't that he was perfect in all of his ways. Matter of fact, we see some very big time mistakes and failures and inconsistencies in his life. But Abraham was able to have this relationship with God because he was able to get back up and dust himself off and go back and seek God and hunger for the things of God. And in my study, I see some characteristics that Abraham had that made him a friend of God, that gave him this special relationship with the Lord, that all of us in this building, I don't believe God is a respecter of persons. I don't believe that he chose certain people that I just love them more than others and I'm just going to help them more than anybody else, or I'm going to answer more prayers for them than I'm going to answer for somebody over here, or they're going to have more influence with me, or they're going to have a greater impact on things through their prayers because I just favor them in a greater way. I don't believe that God is a respecter of persons in that way. But I believe that there's patterns that we can follow and principles that we can follow in the Word of God. And if we do those things, that God will also give us that relationship with Him that we desire. Because it is God's desire to have relationship with man. It is God's desire for us to draw close to Him. He created us with that goal in mind. That's the reason why He gave life to Adam in the very first place, the very first man. And oh, how He cherished the relationship. And I would say that Adam came as close to the relationship that I'm talking about tonight to what Abraham had as any other man in the Scripture, because He walked with Him in the cool of the day. He had an appointment with God, and He had a relationship with God, and it was a very special relationship with God. And I believe that every one of us can have a special relationship with the Lord. Now, I want to say this, that everyone's relationship with God is not the same, and everybody's relationship with God has its own individuality. How God speaks to you and how God may speak to me may be different. How God deals with me about things and how God deals with you may be different. God knows us. He knows our frame, the Scripture says, and the fact that we are dust. So He knows our shortcomings. He knows how to speak to us. He knows how to deal with us in the specific way that we need to be dealt with. And so everybody's relationship, you cannot just take a template and like somebody tracing something that's already been rendered by an artist. You can't just take a template and say, well, this is somebody else's walk with God and I want the exact same thing. That's not how it works. You got to dig out your own relationship with the Lord. Now, I know there's certain things that are principles that are unwavering, and there's certain laws in the Word of God that are unwavering. I understand all of that. But God deals with us on an individual basis. Hallelujah. And I know we're sometimes afraid to use this terminology because the denominational world has wore it out and they've abused it and they've misused it. But I do believe that God wants to be personal to every one of us. I do believe in a personal Savior. And I do believe that He's able to help us personally with each one of our individual problems. And He's able to deal with us in our own personal way. And God wants a personal relationship with every person under the sound of my voice. Can you say praise the Lord? But I began to read and study a little bit today and throughout the afternoon about Abraham and his relationship with God, and what was those characteristics? First of all, I think it's important for you to know that Abraham was an altar builder. This is a man that not one time, but many times would build altars unto the Lord. And this was something that was very important to him. Matter of fact, the very first altar that he built that we see that is described is in Genesis chapter number 12. And this is just after the Lord called him out of the Ur of the Chaldees, which was basically a pagan land that didn't worship Jehovah God. They didn't even know who he was. And God began to deal with Abraham, and God began to move upon his heart, and he called him. He said, get you up and get you out. And he said, I want you to seek for a city whose builder and maker is God. He immediately set out seeking for something that he had never saw. All he was going on was what God had put in his heart, what God had dealt with him about. And immediately the Bible says, in just a few verses, and I think this is so significant, it says that he built an altar between Bethel and Ai. And I think the place and the location of this altar speaks to you and I, because Bethel has always been known in the Word of God as the house of God. And Ai, spelled here H-A-I, in other places spelt a little bit different, but it was always connected to the world. Matter of fact, if you look it up, in some definitions it means the trash heap. The trash heap. So he built an altar between the house of God and the world, basically. And what is the significance of that to you and I? He was basically putting an altar, a place of consecration between him or the church, between his relationship with God and the world, as if to say, I'm not going back to that. I'm not going to return to that. I'm not going there. Amen. I got to go around this consecration. I got to go around this altar in order to get there. I'm going to tell you, in your relationship with God, it is vitally important that you put an altar between you and the world, between the church and the world. And you make it known, you make a consecration unto God that I am not going to return to the world, the beggarly elements that are out there, the things that God has saved me from, delivered me from, amen, answered my prayer and bringing me out of. I'm not going to go back and pick those things up. Whatever God brought me out of and delivered me from, I'm going to continue to draw closer to Him. I'm not going back to that. I'm going to put a barrier there. I'm going to put a place of consecration there that I never return to that. Somebody may think, well, what's the big deal with certain standards of holiness that we carry and that we have? I'll tell you what they are. They're that altar between you, Bethel, and Ai, you and the world. That's what keeps you from going back in some cases to the world, is you're putting protection there. You've made a consecration there unto God. And by holding those consecrations dear to your heart, it's protection to you. You're saying, I don't even want to get close to the world. There's a guardrail here. There's a place that is protecting me, keeping me from returning to the things of the world that I've been delivered out of. Can you say praise the Lord, church? He was an altar builder. The second altar that I see him building is in Hebron. And this is where God made a promise. Some say Hebron, some say Hebron. This is where God made a promise to him. This is where God showed him that I am going to make your people a multitude. I am going to do great things. I'm going to bless you, and then you're going to be a blessing. And that seems so impossible, I'm sure, in the flesh to Abraham. I mean, just one man, and God's talking about nations, and God's talking about multitudes numbered with the sands of the sea and the stars of the sky. And it seems so impossible. But you know what? Abraham was not relying on logic. He was not relying on his own intellect. He was relying on what God had revealed to him and shown him. And he built an altar there and said, I'm going to make a consecration to God at this particular place. I am going to hold on to the promises of God. I'm going to tell you, in prayer, it becomes important that when you approach the altar prayer, that you be able in faith to hold on to the promises that God has made to you. When you pray, amen, there's nothing wrong with you saying, God, you promised me, and help me to stay true to you until that promise is fulfilled in my life. Help me to continue to walk with you in faith until that promise is fulfilled in my life. There's some of you that have been praying about things that God has confirmed and promised to you that he was going to do, and you've not seen those things. You've not realized those things. Those things that perhaps have not happened just yet in your life. Does that mean that you stop visiting that altar? Does that mean that you stop praying about it and give up and throw in the towel? Absolutely not. You need to keep building altars unto God, saying, Lord, I'm going to keep praying about it until it happens. I'm going to keep believing you until it happens. I'm going to keep seeking you until it comes to pass. I may not see it yet, but I'm going to see it because you promised it to me. Oh, clap your hands and let's praise the Lord together. Hallelujah. Then the third altar, and I'm going to move on. The third altar was built on Mount Moriah, and you know what happened there with Isaac as he offered, or we know that the angel of the Lord did not allow him to follow through, but he had full intentions of offering Isaac upon that altar, which is very difficult for him to do. Because not only was this his flesh and blood, but this was everything that God had promised him, he felt like, and he's laying it all down. Every godly ambition that he had, every godly goal that he had, every godly aspiration that he had, he's laying it down and surrendering. This is a place of total surrender to God and his will. I'm going to tell you, you can never be a friend of God. You'll never draw close to the Lord as long as you're always imposing your own will, as long as you're always having to live by your own terms, as long as it's always got to be comfortable for you and your flesh and what you want, you'll never draw close to the Lord as you would like to. But if you can get to the place Abraham did and say, God, I surrender everything, really don't understand why you're asking me to do this, but he had faith. You read about it in the New Testament that God had made him a promise, that God was not a man that he should lie, that if he was to slay Isaac on that altar, that God would raise him up again and resurrect him back to life so that that promise could be fulfilled. Amen. That's how much confidence he had in what God had revealed to him. I'm going to tell you, he got to a place at that altar where he totally surrendered. And I'm going to tell you, that's where the will of God can really be done in your life. That's where you can draw closer to the Lord. That's where you can become a friend of God. That's where God can work for you. That's where God answers prayer. That's where God does great things, is when we get to the place of total surrender. Some may ask the question, amen, some may ask the question at times, why do I feel the pressure that I feel? Why do I feel the burden that I feel? Why is it that God allows me to go through the things that I'm going through? Why is it that I have to endure some of the things that I'm having to endure right now? Can I tell you in the Holy Ghost tonight just what I feel? It may be that he's trying to get you to that place of total surrender. Because as long as you're saying, I can do this, I can handle this, I got this, amen. You know, that's a little terminology that the world uses. That's a cliche. I got this. I'm going to tell you, you don't have anything. Amen. Everything you got, God gave you. Amen. And if you got anything, it's going to be because God gives it to you. If you get victory, it's going to be because God gave it to you. If we have revival, it's not going to be because of a man. It's not going to be because of me. And it's not going to be because of you. But it's going to be because we surrendered to him. And he brought revival. And he brought the outpouring. And he brought the move of God. And he brought the miraculous. And he brings the healing. And he brings the anointing. He brings the power. And it's his presence that comes. Amen. And shakes a city. And it's his power and his glory that moves in the lives of people. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I'm hungry for miracles. I'm hungry for God to do greater works. I'm hungry to see people healed. I'm hungry to see people healed more than just physically. And I want to see people healed physically. But I'm also praying that we could see some people healed in a spiritual way. Amen. I'm talking about restored. People that's been hurt. People that's been wounded. People, amen, that are broken down spiritually and feel like they can never get back up again. I'm here to tell you that's the lie that the devil's trying to sell people every day is that you can never be used of God. He is a liar and the father of all lies. You hear me in the Holy Ghost tonight. He can heal and restore as though nothing has ever happened. Somebody ought to give praise to the Lord right now. Somebody ought to lift up the name of Jesus right now. Somebody ought to yield to Him and surrender to Him right now in this house. Praise God. Praise God. Second characteristic, Abraham. Abraham did not have any wavering when it come to the Word of God. When God spoke to him, he didn't waver. Romans chapter 4, verse 16. Amen. Simply says, therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken. So shall thy seed be, and being not weak in faith. He considered not his own body now dead. It didn't seem logical, church. It didn't seem possible in the flesh. Oh, but when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, he staggered not at the promises of God, which are through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory, worshiping, praising God. Even before it happened, he was praising God and giving God glory about it. He was worshiping the Lord and saying, I thank God it's going to happen. Giving God glory. Amen. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Hallelujah. Fully persuaded. Staggering not. He didn't stumble at the Word of God. Amen. He had confidence. He had trust in the Word of God. I'm going to tell you, to be a friend of God, you got to trust Him. I said, you got to trust Him that He knows what's best for your life, that He knows what's best for you, and He is concerned for you and what is best for your soul. And you know, we don't understand everything, and as far as an eternal perspective, we don't have, because we're limited. We're earthy. Amen. We can only see things through the lens that we understand it. And God sees through eternity's eyes. And God sees, He sees eternity, heaven and hell, and where we're going to be for eternity. And so He knows. Amen. And sometimes He's willing to allow things to happen in our lives so that we can be saved. And that's the ultimate, isn't it, folks? That's the most important thing. It's not us just being comfortable all the time. It's us being saved that matters the most. I said, it's us being saved that matters the most. Praise the Lord. You need to have confidence in the Word of God. When God speaks to you, as bizarre as it may seem, and as far out as it may seem, and I feel this a lot of times, even here in this assembly, I feel like that we try to sometimes logically figure everything out and explain everything. I'm going to tell you, that's not the realm of faith, and that's not the realm that God works in, and that's not where miracles are. You can never get there through logic. You can never get there through human intellect. Amen. But you can only get there through faith. And if you want a miracle, and if you want God to move in your life, you're going to have to give up. You're going to have to surrender some of that and say, God, I trust you at your word. I know what you're asking me to do seems far-fetched, but I'm going to do it anyway. I'm just going to be obedient to you. I'm going to step out anyhow. I'm going to take a little further, amen, with my worship and my praise, a little further step, and believe you and worship you and give glory to you. Can you imagine that old man giving glory to God, that God is going to make me the father of many nations? You imagine how many people laughed and scoffed and made fun of that. He didn't care. He knew he had a word from God. And if you got a word from God, it didn't matter what they say about your worship. It didn't matter what they they say about your praise. They can laugh and scoff all they want to. You've got a promise from God, and you need to hold on to that promise, and you need to believe God for that promise. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Also, Abraham was quick to obey the commands of God. I read in Genesis chapter 22. Matter of fact, let's just go over there. Genesis 22. When God asked him to take Isaac and offer him as a sacrifice. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here am I, or here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering. You understand, a burnt offering was a complete offering. A burnt offering was just what it says, totally consumed offering. Not only was he going to have to slay this boy, but I don't mean to be gruesome. He was going to give him as a total burnt offering unto the Lord. Upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of, and Abraham arose. Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place which God had told him. God showed him this. God revealed this to him. It didn't say that he spent two or three days debating God and saying, God, I really don't want to do that. God didn't have to twist his arm. God didn't have to do anything to persuade him further. It says right here, and Abraham arose up early. Rose early. Amen. In the morning. And got things prepared and got ready to go be obedient to God. In other words, he didn't wait. He didn't hesitate. He didn't try to argue with God. He didn't try to debate the matter. He didn't question God's will. He immediately obeyed the commands of God. If you want to be a friend of God, this is how you can do it. You can learn how to be immediately obedient and sensitive to do God's will immediately. Saying, God, I'm not going to argue with you. I'm not going to try to live, amen, my way and do it my way. But I submit myself to your word. If this is what you ask of me, this is what I'm going to do. And he immediately did it. Praise God. When we learn how to move with God immediately, we'll see a whole lot more results. We'll see greater things happen than we ever have before. When we get to the place that we just understand and have an ear that can hear what the Spirit is saying and we move with it immediately, we don't argue with it. We just have confidence that God is speaking and God is working in it and we just step out into it. God will help us. And God will work in our lives. Number four, in chapter 13, there arose some strife between the herdsmen of Abraham and the herdsmen of Lot. You see, Lot had different goals, different desires, different direction that he was going, things he was wanting out of life than what Abraham was. And finally, Abraham, who really could have put Lot in his place and said, hey, son, I'm the one that invited you to come on this trip in the first place. Why don't you get along? And he could have sent him walking down the road talking to himself, but he didn't do that. He said, I'm going to tell you, we're at a place right here. You look out there. He said, whichever way you go, I'll go the other way. He said, there's strife between your herdsmen and my herdsmen, and that ought not to be so. He said, because we are brethren. So in essence, we see that Abraham had this characteristic that he chose blessing over strife. He chose blessing over strife. And if you're going to be a friend of God, you've got to have that same kind of attitude. If you like to fight, you like to bicker, and you like to poke at problems and, and always be into it with somebody else and to harbor an attitude and a spirit against somebody else, you're never going to be a friend of God. That will disallow you from being a friend of God. You'll never be able to draw close to God as long as you are a person of strife, as long as you're always carrying gossip about somebody else or slanderous words about somebody else, always on somebody else. And I found out most people that do that kind of stuff, they got so many problems in their own life. They got more problems than run over dogs. Amen. And they're pointing at somebody else and they're trying to pick at somebody else. Most people, they use that as a smoke screen to try to keep everybody else from figuring out they got problems that are bigger than anyone's. Amen. That's not the right attitude, church, to have. We don't need to choose strife. We need to choose the blessings of God. We need to choose the favor of God and say, I'm not concerned about worrying about anybody else but me and keeping my spirit right. And if I can keep my spirit right, God can bless me. If I can keep my attitude right, God can bless me. I'm not the judge. I'm not the one that sits on the circle of the earth. I'm not the one that's got the robe on in the courtroom. But God is going to take care of his business, and I'm just going to serve God and do his will. I'm not going to be lifted up in pride to try to judge somebody else. I'm not going to choose strife. We be brethren. I need you. You need me. Let's get along and let's go to heaven together. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. You got to choose the blessings of the Lord. It seems like something very elementary, but you'd be surprised how many people forfeit the blessings of God because they want to harbor some feeling against somebody else. Their prayers are hindered. God's not even hearing their prayers. They bring gifts to the altar that God won't even accept because they got aught against somebody else. Come on, am I not still in the Bible here tonight, folks? Come on, if I got off into some fairy tale here tonight, that's what the book says. I said, that's what the book said. You can't have hot in your heart and expect God to accept your praise, your prayer, your worship, as long as you got something in your heart that you're holding against somebody else. That's the Bible. Amen. I didn't come up with that. I didn't write that. The Lord, the Holy Ghost, the inspiration of God is what brought that to the pages of your Bible. Praise the Lord. And so we need to understand that the only way I can be a friend of God is to also, amen, choose to let things go and let God have his way in my life and choose the blessings of the Lord and the favor of God above trying to get even with somebody else, above trying to get over something on some, or pay back somebody. That's so foolish. I said, that's so foolish. You need to understand that God's in control of everything, and if I just live for him, he'll take care of me. I don't have to worry about all of that stuff. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's right. That's right. Praise God. Praise God. You can be right sometimes and still end up wrong. I said you can be justified sometimes in the flesh and still end up wrong spiritually. That's right. We got to understand that this is God's kingdom. I want to be a friend of God. I want to draw close to the Lord. I want to be all that he would have me to be. Why don't you lift up your hands with me right now? Let's just invite his presence into this house. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I want to be a friend of God. I know of a man, pastors up in Montana, and I mean it's a real remote place. Montana's pretty remote, but he lives in a remote area. Pastors of church there. Matter of fact, he came from Houston, started the church up there. He was originally from Brother Kilgore's church in Houston, and then many years ago went up and began a church in Montana, in the state of Montana. This man had such a desire to draw close to God and be a friend of God, if I could say it that way. And he was new when it came to really praying. And I know there's a lot of people that say they're ADHD, or a lot of people we diagnose as having ADHD. But he said, man, if there is such a thing, he said, I had it. He said, I had it bad. He said, I couldn't focus on anything for very long. And he said, I'd pray 5 minutes. And he said, my mind, old mind, get to wandering off somewhere else. And I'd think of 150 other things I need to be doing. And he said, but I pray that 5 minutes as intense as I possibly could. And he said, I just kept pressing. God, I want to be a prayer warrior. I want to draw close to you. I want to know you. And he'd press on with it a little bit. And it wasn't long until that turned into several minutes. And then that turned into an hour. Until he said, I broke through something in my prayer. He said, I really broke through something. And he said, it got to where, brother, that hours would pass. And it would seem like the 5 minutes, like it was before, the 5 minutes, it was so difficult and hard. He said, I would pray for hours. He wasn't bragging. He was just stating a fact. I would pray for hours, and it would just sweep by, and it would seem like just minutes had transpired. He said, it was like God just helped me. God helped me to keep focused, and God helped me to enter into a spirit of prayer because he had such a desire to draw close to God, such a desire to draw nearer to the Lord. I'm going to tell you, if you got a desire to draw close to God, you can do it. I said, you can do it. He gives you an invitation to do it. He gives you an opportunity to do it. But you got to want this more than you want other things. You got to want this more than you want the things of this world, the accolades of this world, the acclaim of this world, the money this world may have to offer, the stature that this world may have to offer you. I'm going to tell you, this world is so fleeting, folks. I said, this world is so fleeting. I remember being 17, 18 years old and thinking, man, I ain't never going to be 20. I'm never going to be 25. Man, that seems like a lifetime. And here I am standing here now today. And I know some of you know what I'm talking about. It seems like life is so swift and it's so quick. And I'm going to tell you, everything that you think is important, you're going to wake up one of these days and realize what the most important thing is. And I'm encouraging you young people to put your life and invest your life in God. I'm encouraging you young couples to invest your time in the things of God. I want to invest in prayer. I want to invest internal thing. I want to put some jewels in my crown. I don't want to be worried about everything down here. I know there's certain things we got to be concerned with, and I'm not trying to be ridiculous here tonight, but I'm just telling you, we're far too wrapped up in what happens right here on terra firma and not nearly as consumed with the things of God as we need to be. Man, I can't pray 30 minutes. I can't pray an hour. I'm going to tell you something. You're going to have all the time of eternity to do some praying if you can't pray here. But if you can discipline yourself to pray, God will draw you. He will bless you. A lot of the things you desire in life, you'll have if you learn how to pray. If you'll just learn how to seek God, he'll give you the peace that you're searching for and you can't find. He'll give you the joy that you're looking for and you can't find. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And we need to quit saying, I can't. I can't. I can't do this. I can't do that. We are what we are because that's what we want to be. We really are. Every one of us. We're as close to God as we want to be right now. You say, well, that doesn't really apply to me. I really do want to be closer to him. Well, we'll do something about it from this moment on if that's the case. Because God's given us an invitation. I said, God is giving us an invitation. Finally, Abraham was a worshiper. Abraham was willing to separate himself from the crowd to worship God. Genesis 22, we understand that this is where he takes Isaac up into the mountains, and there was quite an entourage that was with him. But finally, somewhere on the side of that mountain, he said, this place where we're going, we can't take the whole entourage with us. And he turned around to them. He said, you keep these beasts of burdens. You take care of them. But I and the lad are going yonder to worship. We're going to separate ourselves to a place of worship. And if you're going to really get in contact with God and worship God to the degree that you need to, you're going to have to quit worrying about what everybody else thinks about you. You're going to have to quit trying to fit in with the crowd so much. Quit going with the masses on everything. Quit worrying about putting your finger in the air and saying, well, I guess this is acceptable and that's not. And just realize, God, I need more of you more than I need anything else. I need more of you more than I need anything else in this life. I want to worship you. I want to give myself to you. I want to be consecrated to you. Would you stand with me right now? Would somebody feel that call? Would somebody reach out to heaven right now with your whole heart? Would somebody give yourself right now to God? Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. God is calling. God is dealing with people. God is speaking to folks right now in this house. I'm going to tell you, there's benefits and there's blessings in being a friend of God. Because God revealed things to Abraham. He revealed secrets to him. He revealed his own intentions, his own plans for things to Abraham. Before he ever fulfilled those plans, he said, well, I need to go tell Abraham about it, my friend. When the judgments of Sodom and Gomorrah were imminent, when he was going to come down with fire and brimstone, he came by and he told Abraham. And let me just tell you this. It was this friend of God, Abraham, that saved Lot. It was his prayers that saved Lot from that judgment. I wonder if you and I could draw close to God in such a way that our prayers could spare some souls in this city. In this city. I was riding with Brother Booker this last Monday, day before yesterday. He's taking us down and where Azusa and all of that was. And in the midst of our talking, I asked him about Brother Price, who's over 90 years old and very sick. Had a stroke, and he's very impaired physically. And he said, well, I did talk to him a couple of months ago. Brother Price's dearest friend was Brother David Gray, who pastored many years in San Diego. Brother David Gray has family that goes all the way back to Azusa Street area in that time. And I think Brother David Gray was actually born to a missionary family in the country of Japan. So he's known the work of God all of his life and had a very thriving revival church in San Diego during his time. But Brother Gray passed away, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago, maybe more. Brother Price, who is a very stoic man in a lot of ways, very sensitive to God, but very strong man, preached his funeral, and he said it was the most difficult thing that he'd ever done because that was his friend. It was close to him. But he called Brother Booker the other day, and he said, and I know some people probably have a hard time accepting this, but you just take it for what it is. These are men of God, and I trust them. He said, well, he said, I was resting in my room asleep. And he said, God gave me a dream. And he said, Brother Gray was there. It was like I was still in the room where I am. He said, but it was like Brother Gray was standing there. He said, we conversed in this dream. And he looked at me and he said, Brother Price, he said, you need to tell my daughter. You tell my daughter to get right, to get ready, because the Lord's coming soon. Would you do everything possible? Would you call her? Would you talk to her? And try to convince her that it's time to get right with God. He said, I'll do that. He said, it wasn't long after that I awoke, and of course, Brother Gray wasn't there. He said, but I couldn't get away from that, what he asked. And God dealing with me, and he made the call. She lives in a different area of the country, and he talked to her about her soul, and she said, I'm going to do something with this, Brother Price. I'm not just going to shrug this off. I'm going to take this to heart. I'm going to do something with it. I'm going to tell you something. We, being sensitive to God, being a friend of God, being open to the Lord, not just living our lives in a casual, carnal manner. There's nothing wrong with having fun. There's nothing wrong with certain frivolity and laughter and all of that. But I'm going to tell you, it's time for some of us to take it up a notch with our walk with God. Hey, we've been talking about revival. We have as much revival around here as what we want, to be honest. I said, we have as much revival around here as what we want, me included. Me included. I'm going to step it up. I'm asking you, is there anybody who wants to draw close to the Lord? Does anybody want to draw nearer to Him? Does anybody want to go to a place? I don't believe it's long before the Lord comes. I don't believe that we're talking about a long, long, long drawn out deal here. I believe the Lord could come at any moment, and I don't know what His time of coming is, but I know this. I'm feeling the urgency of the Holy Ghost to talk to somebody here tonight. I'm feeling the urgency of the Holy Ghost to shake somebody's cage up a little bit here tonight. Amen. And give you my heart and give you what God's been dealing with me about. It's time to take it up a notch. It's time to get higher in God. It's time for someone to answer the call here tonight. If you've ever had it in your heart, I'm going to do something for God. How about it now, sir? How about it now, ma'am? How about it now for that prayer life? How about it now for that evangelism? How about it now for being used by God? How about it now for going deeper in the Lord? Is there somebody who wants to respond to the invitation tonight? I'm telling you what I feel. I feel like God has given somebody an invitation to draw closer. Somebody's getting an invitation to draw near. Amen. It may not be for everyone. Everyone may not feel the urgency that I feel. But if you feel this, if you feel this, I want you to come to this altar. I want you to respond to this call from God. I want you to come with an open heart and say, God, talk to me. Deal with me. Amen. Take me to a deeper place in prayer. Take me to a greater place in my relationship with you. Come on, a whole lot of your problems would be resolved if you'd draw closer to God. A whole lot of the anguish in your life would go away if you'd draw closer to God. Amen. God, I need you. I need you. You're the one that's the problem fixer. You're the one that's able to put things back together again. You're the one that's able to help me. You're the one. You're giving us a call tonight. You're drawing us. You're moving on us. Is there somebody to put pettiness aside? Is there somebody to put feelings aside and say, God, I need you. I need you. I realize I need you. Time is drawing close. The curtain is coming to a close. Amen. We need God more than we've ever needed Him. We need to draw closer to Him than we ever have. If you've ever needed a relationship with God, you need it now. Somebody needs to cry out with a loud voice. Somebody needs to call on Him. Amen. With everything that's within you. Somebody needs to pray and not be ashamed tonight. Somebody needs to say, God, I need you, and I don't care what anybody thinks about me just now. I need you. I need you. I need you. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, God, touch us tonight. Stir us tonight. Deal with us tonight. Get a hold of us tonight. Awaken something within us. Been too long since we felt the call. Been too long since we felt the urgency. Been too long since we felt you deal with us in that way. Hallelujah, God, help me, Lord, to be broken before you. Help me, God, to be stirred up in my spirit, convicted of my sins, convicted of my waywardness, convicted of my carnality, convicted of my loose tongue, amen, convicted of things, God, that I have some way drifted in you and not felt like any longer that it's wrong and that is against the things of the Lord. God, help me to be pure in my motives again. Help my attitude to get right again, because I need to draw close to you. I want to be a friend of God. I want to be a friend of God. I want to be a friend of God. Come on, church, let's pray it. Let's pray it until it happens for us, till there's a breakthrough for us. Somebody needs to call on Him. Somebody needs to seek after Him. Somebody needs to reach. Oh, come on, come on, come on, reach. For God to move.